On a Monday, June 1st, it's Morning Edition on Boise State Public Radio News. Good morning. I'm George Prentice. Heated debate over justice in America in the shadow of the death of George Floyd continues to boil over in many of the nation's cities, and that gives us reason this morning to spend some time with Philip Thompson, Executive Director and Board President at the Idaho Black History Museum, and he joins us live this morning via Zoom. Philip, good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm well, sir. Hope you and your family are well and safe.
We are. Thank you kindly. Wish you the same.
Want to start things off this morning with a Facebook post of yours. Quote, I implore you to stay home for your own safety. We are planning an opportunity to stand in solidarity safely. And I guess the word safely is really pops out of that. You made a point of writing some concern that you have about the possibility of events led by people who you call obscure or unknown. What's going on there?
It's really an odd situation, especially, I mean, it might be somewhat indicative of this new kind of internet-based social media world, that many times a movement can make quite a stand, have quite a gathering, but you never are actually aware of who's the one at the head of it or who's put it together. So initially, we were dealing with issues of people claiming to want to have an event, hold a vigil, hold whatever it was, but they were an unknown. Nobody knew who they were. More often than not, they didn't live in Boise. They had no roots to Boise, or they lived in Boise years ago, and they were inciting what's less than a productive as far as the rhetoric and the language and the what we need to do locally. And that wasn't going to be a helpful situation. And you couple that with the fact that we're in the middle of a pandemic. So asking and calling and demanding for hundreds to come together without a real tangible, palpable plan is not just dangerous, but irresponsible. And then in addition to that, you had anti-police sentiments or rhetoric, or asking people to perpetrate random acts of violence when we're one city that has a very beneficial relationship with our police. Our police have been very accommodating and understanding. It was just, it was the recipe for disaster.
I'll remind our listeners that you are the proud son of Idaho Senator Sheree Buckner Webb. And on more than one occasion, you and I have spoken about conversations that you had with her when you were a young man. So my question to you this morning is, what should we be telling our children right now?
I have a 9-year-old daughter who I have to deal with that question as well. And this current one gave me pause because she knows what's going on. But again, she's 9 and you don't want to traumatize a child, but nor will I lie to her or conceal from her the truth, because this is her reality and it will be henceforth. One of my closest friends, first generation Portuguese, has a child that's like 6. He had her watch the video to understand racial animus, racial violence, the history of racial animosity in America with context and explaining it, not trying to traumatize her, not shock and awe, but to let her see that, no, this is a real fight. So I just had that conversation yesterday. So I'm going to do the same with my daughter, to give her some idea, because she's seen bits and pieces, but I don't know that it's been done in a proper way to really explain what precipitated and the history of that event. And that's what we kind of have to all do. We can't just get caught up in the moment or the frenzy or even the emotionality, because if we get emotional, our kids are going to get emotional. We have to take this moment, as they say, a teachable moment, to help them understand and look at the history of racial policies in America through the eyes of what just transpired.
And of course, you're talking about the video of George Floyd, where, quite frankly, we're watching him die underneath the knee of a police officer.
And that, in addition to what has transpired in Minnesota. I mean, you have a unique situation right now where you have this confluence of events. The Minnesota protesters that were white with guns, no police action taken in the form of violence. Black protesters without guns protesting police violence, so the response is to brutalize them. In addition to a gentleman cuffed on the ground, The narrative they tried to create that he was resisting arrest, until the video comes out showing evidence to the contrary. This is an opportunity in real time to let anyone see, learn, and be witness to what our country is dealing with, this dirty truth that we don't want to discuss.
Can you tell me how safe you feel as a citizen and how safe you feel as a Black man?
This is all I know. I mean, luckily, I'm lucky to live where I was raised. I left for a moment. I've been back for the vast majority of my life. I also have the luxury of being a known quantity more often than not, mm-hmm. whether it not be from the average passerby who, you know, I want to walk or whatnot. But if, in fact, I'm wronged, I don't feel like I'm pigeonholed or unable to voice what has happened to me to rectify it. So I've only navigated the world as a Black man, and especially from Idaho in Idaho. So this is all I know. My mother gave me the toolkit at a very young age of how to do so responsibly, effectively, and proudly, but she didn't hide what it was I was going to be encountering along that path. So safety is always relative. I mean, heck, I live in Idaho. Idaho is a pretty safe place, but I'm also conscious of the variables that I may deal with on the daily that many don't have to. But I also am aware of the fact that those variables that I might deal with, I have a means to rectify them pretty quickly, where another Black man, same age, same background, maybe living next door, isn't privy to those same tools of resolving. So yes, you always have to be aware and move prudently, intelligently, and tactfully. I'm even in the way I dress a certain way is a reflection of that. But I can't say that I have it so bad and I've been so wrongfully oppressed, because my own unique circumstance is better than the vast majority of those who look like me, sound like me, or walk like me.
Can I assume that indeed you are planning an event for some time in the near future?
Absolutely. I want to have it solidified by Wednesday of this week. The biggest concern is we don't want to be the catalyst to cause mass injury to those who want to attend, whether it be by way of infection, whether it be by way of acts of violence. Just as last night and of this morning, there was talks of extremist groups on both ends, speaking of Boise, Idaho, and about what's going on here. So we don't want to facilitate or precipitate that. We also want to make sure that it's an inclusive event, because this is a fight that isn't solely owned by either political party, any racial party. Yes, it directly affects Blacks. Let's go ahead and, you know, reemphasize that. But in order to rectify this, we need to have a coalition of the willing, as they say, to really jump in and fix this. And especially in Idaho, those power holders that are able to facilitate and make change, we have the luxury of having access to them, having us at the table and standing with us to do so. Nobody has come up locally to defend the actions that were perpetrated. So we've got to utilize that, not ostracize and insulate ourselves from them and saying, hey, this is our thing, you can't be a part of it. Yes, it is our thing. And yes, it is our pain. But in order to fix it, we have to work at this collectively.
Philip Thompson, Executive Director and Board President at the Idaho Black History Museum. Philip, have a good week.
You too, sir. Thank you kindly.
Bye-bye.